numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Hey, Kelly, pro tip. I'm late.
Yeah, pro tip.
Pro tip from hour number one, ladies and gentlemen. Tread lightly with MLB bets right now. If there's value to you betting it now, go for it. But there's still a long way to go before the start of the season and still some player moves to be made. Keep in mind, be aware of the new format as well before you do it. But no rush if you're not that convicted on some of these bets. That's your VSiN pro tip of the hour. One every hour. It's at least 20 every day right here at VSiN. All searchable at VSiN.com for pro subscribers only, Kelly. That's the big key.
That's right.
Got to be a subscriber to get the VSiN Pro tips culled together all 20 a day right here. Obviously, Tom Brady's retirement, the big story of the morning, sort of gave him the tribute here in the first segment of the show. We want to get to Jeff Schwartz in a bit. We'll also talk about golf with Kelly later. We're going to do Rihanna here, and we're going to do LeBron James. Which would you like to do first?
Let's go Rihanna.
Let's go Rihanna first. By the way, before we get to Rihanna, Joe C714, one of our loyal listeners who tweets, just stopped by the studio. He said hello. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. You can tell that on Twitter as well. And I said to him, I want to thank him on air, which I did off air as well. He gave me the nicest gift ever. He got me an Iga Swiatek tennis card, a Iga Swiatek signed tennis ball from when she was here at Indian Wells last year. She won that tournament. And I had mentioned something about the women's tour was playing with smaller tennis balls. He gave me one of those as well just to see the comparison. Anyway, just such an absolutely nice gift that he gave me. And he said hello. Couldn't have been a nicer guy. So thank you, Joe C714.
I'm glad about that because I just let him right in here as I was going to get coffee. I was like, yeah, Gil's right there. Go say hi.
He didn't seem menacing to you, so you let him in?
Yeah. I let him pass on my bouncer skills, you know, from yesterday.
All right, so let's do some Rihanna. Yeah, Kelly's got multiple jobs. The man is, whatever they're paying him, it's not enough, ladies and gentlemen.
It's like Mac and Always Sunny. I assessed, and I cleared him as not a threat, so I allowed him in. go say hi to Kelly. He's got 3 minutes.
You're a profiler.
That's right.
By the way, I'll say this. I was in the airport in, was it Israel, a decade ago, right? And you know how we do all this? Take off your shoes, do all this.
Oh, God.
It's like... In some respects, it's not a fair comparison because we're a massive country of 330 million people with 3,000 miles across. And so this is, you know, Israel is the size of Connecticut, basically. So it's easier. In that respect, it's not a fair comparison. But in the airport there in Tel Aviv, there's no taking off your shoes. There's no any of that. Every few steps, not every few steps, but every 20 steps or so, like somebody, you know, dressed up in an army outfit, will just sort of randomly come up to you and be like, hey, what were you doing here? What were you here in the country for? Do you know anybody yet? And they just have the training. They know if you're good or not. Like after a few questions,
yeah.
They're like, okay, all right. It's not like a Larry David thing where they stare at you like sideways in the eye, you know?
That is fascinating because it would be, I would think it would be tough to keep up the charade, right? You know, if you're really doing something. In the U.S. right now, I don't know if you've encountered it, but, no, every security line is different, depending on what airport you're in. Have you encountered the take your shoes off or...
TSA pre, baby.
Or the what is it, the laptop? It's the laptop stuff. It's everything out of your bag or leave it all in the bag and put it in a bucket and go through.
Why aren't you TSA pre?
I don't know, man.
It is the greatest and the best investment you could possibly make.
See, this is what I always hear, and then I looked into it, and they're like, yeah, just swing on by our office at the airport one day. It'll take you 20 minutes.
That's the problem.
I'm going to go to the airport when I don't have a flight today?
It's so worth it.
All right.
So that's your pro tip of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's do some halftime props. Let's move some markets, everybody. Rihanna is doing the Super Bowl halftime show, Super Bowl 57. She had a child, by the way. I know you knew that, Kelly. I'm just telling everybody else. But she's back. And you can bet on these things in faraway places, let's say. And again, we break it out during the Super Bowl because people love things like this. So a couple of the things you can bet on are first song on stage and last song on stage. So if we did this, by the way, Kelly, I know you don't think you know Rihanna songs. You know about 15 of them.
Oh, I know. No. I know way more of these than what we were stuff we were talking about yesterday.
So first song on stage, the short shot is Diamonds.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is not playing Diamonds to start off the set. It is just not happening. So I went through the whole Rihanna catalog yesterday, all these candidates, listened to them all. Some of them are jams, by the way.
And I listened to a few this morning as well.
Let me tell you something, man. Some of these are just jams. But as far as this bet is concerned, for me it came down to two possibilities. Because you have to also consider lyrics and music here. What lyrics sort of match a beginning of a set and really what music does. So she could have, you know, she could have done something like What's My Name to start and do it that way. But ultimately, I landed on This Is What I Came For at 12-1.
Okay.
This Is What I Came For, which, by the way, lyrically, you can also say, oh, This Is What I Came For. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But also the nature of the song, because I think it's with Calvin Harris, if I'm not mistaken, which you know from your clubbing days, Kelly.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
By the way, if you ever want to see anybody at Veasan in a nightclub, it is Kelly Bidlin. I'm not sure if he's sober, but he's in there. This Is What I Came For is a Calvin Harris-Rihanna collaboration. Collab, that's what the kids call it. Collab.
Scottish DJ Calvin Harris.
But here's the thing. It builds, right? It's this club jam that builds, 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 and then hits, and it is perfect to start a set.
I think that makes a lot of sense then.
This Is What I Came For. 12-1, first song on stage from Rihanna.
I'm with you where it's got to be, you would think there's something more, the more high energy ones are going to make more sense right off the top, get that going, you know, get the halftime show started.
This Is What I Came For. 12-1. Bang it. Rihanna, first song on stage. By the way, again, just let me just disclaimer. I have no knowledge. This is just me sort of figuring out what I think would be the proper song for her to start with.
Yeah, I guess we should start saying that more.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like Blue Gatorade. That was all that was about yesterday.
Yes, that's right. We should have really done the disclaimer on the Gatorade segment. Kelly has no knowledge of what the Gatorade color will actually be. He just likes Blue Gatorade. Rihanna's last song on stage. This is a little more nebulous, I will admit that. But, I mean, you can just do it by the title here. This is appropriately priced. Don't Stop the Music. Is the probably the one that makes the most sense at +250. So this one's not as sexy, but I believe that would be the end game for Rihanna.
I think this is the one I got thinking about this morning. I think it's one of the two favorites.
Yeah, Umbrella is. What would you say is her most, like, to the casual music listener? Do you think Umbrella is her biggest song?
I think it's Umbrella without a doubt.
Ella.
I think it's without a doubt, it's one of her longer lasting, most famous songs, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like, so I think there's a bigger chance more of the audience knows it, like we're talking about. I think that could be a good song to end it with. Obviously, I think, you know, I mean, don't Stop the Music obviously makes a lot of sense too, but I think it's one of those favorites.
What's your favorite Rihanna song? Just this has nothing to do with Betty.
Oh, my God. I mean, like Umbrella has been stuck in my head since I put it on this morning and will be for the rest of the day.
Give me What's My Name. Rihanna and Drake. Square root of 69 is ace something. All right. So, again, reviewing. First song on stage. As we mentioned here moments ago. Now the name is escaping me after I just said it. Help me out, guys. This is what I came for. This is what I came for, 12-1. And then I'm very strong on that. The last song, I think, is one of the short shots, which I think is Don't Stop the Music. But This Is What I Came For, 12-1, first song. Now, LeBron James messed around, got himself a 28-point triple-double last night, Kelly, in the Lakers' overtime win over the Knickerbockers.
Good game.
By the way, he also got to fourth all-time in assists. Did you see this?
Yeah, I didn't know. I don't even know if I knew that was happening last night. I'm watching the game, and, yeah, they're like, yeah, now passes Steve Nash, fourth all-time on the assist list.
It's ridiculous. Now, he won't get higher than that because it's at that point, it's Stockton, Kidd, and Paul. But the fact that he just messed around in his fourth in assists and is now – I want to get this exactly right. He is now 89 points shy.
That's what Sean McCollum came up with back here. 89 points
89 shy. 89 points shy of the all-time scoring record currently held by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So 89 points, and you can bet on when is he going to break this? When is he going to break it? Well, next game, Pacers are 500-1 because apparently those are the true odds of him scoring 89 points, Kelly. 500-1. Really? That's all we get for 89 points? You should be ashamed of yourself. Give us 5 bajillion to 1. All right, maybe not that. But it should be higher than 500-1. The interesting one would be the Pelicans, which is the next game. So the Pacers are tomorrow night at Indiana. At New Orleans is February 4th. So that would be Saturday night. He's 30-1.
And good job by Wyatt. He put this in date order. The DraftKings one can be a little bit more confusing.
Nice job, Wyatt.
Rarely give him a shout out on it.
Wyatt Tomchek.
Works his butt off.
Social master. Yeah. Yeah, he likes bad sports teams.
You know
sometimes.
What? Real quick. Yeah. The whole crew. We got Kevin Sean on audio over here. Matt running graphics downstairs. Isaiah directing. He's
Isaiah
awesome.
Isaiah Wrinkle.
Ah, he holds the whole glue together down there. Why it does so much for us, as we know. And then our engineering team that helped me out so much yesterday with a couple things. Ken Sporich, Dez. These guys are awesome. We couldn't do anything around here without them.
Isaiah Wrinkle hosting the show next week when everybody else is in Arizona. Right, yeah. I don't know if you guys know that. 30-1 on the Pelicans. Does it interest you at all if LeBron averages just shy of 45 points? Or if he has to average 45 points exactly to break it? Do you bet 30-1 on the Pelicans just on that off chance that he goes off? Because after that, it's +130, +120.
It's the only bet you can make,
it's the
right?
only, it's, you are de facto tied into that bet and that bet alone. It's the only bet worth making, right?
Yeah.
Because everything else is just, whatever, Thunder, Bucks, +130, +120. You're just guessing at that point. All right. Maybe someone wants to bet both the Thunder and the Bucks and make a few pennies. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game proudly brought to you by BetMGM. And don't forget the big game. My goodness. What coverage we have here network-wide for the big game. It means big plans for VSiN. We'll be in the middle of all the action and broadcasting live from Radio Row in Phoenix with athlete and celebrity interviews and our experts breaking down the game. You won't want to miss any of VSiN's coverage. Huddle up and watch Follow the Money, the Lombardi Line, VSiN Final Countdown, and VSiN Primetime all live from Radio Row starting next week. For betting splits, expert picks, and big game props, head to VSiN.com. That's VSIN.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this man played in the National Football League for the better part of a decade, multiple teams, has some thoughts, is kind enough to be on this show many, many times in the past, working for Fox, working for Sirius, also has been on the Megapod, and when he was on the Megapod, well, you know, him and Todd went at it a little bit, I think, as I recall. I'm not really sure, but I seem to recall that as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jeff Schwartz. How you doing, Jeff?
I don't know why Todd and I would have gone at it. Like, over what? Like, where are we? I think we're kind of like, I don't know, we're kind of like the same people. I certainly don't gamble as much as he does, but I do enjoy the game. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how the pace he keeps, buddy, is impressive.
I love, you guys are really kind of the same person in many ways as well. By the way, you can follow Jeff at Jeff Schwartz on Twitter. That's G-E-O-F-F on Jeff. Jeff, before we get into your thoughts on Super Bowl 57, my one interaction with you after championship weekend was you just being exhausted by a certain reaction to non-holding calls. Is that correct?
I just don't understand, like, the thirst for more penalties to be called in the NFL. Like, it blows my mind that people watch sports wanting there to be more penalties. Like, when there's obvious things like LeBron James drives to the lane, and he's obviously fouled the final play of a game against Boston, right? Like, a very obvious foul, right? Like, arm is hit. Like, okay, call the foul, right? But when there's, like, judgment calls, or when there's things like, maybe, 50-50, was it a penalty, was it not? And people are like, throw the flag! It's like, how about we don't? How about we have less penalties, everyone? Like, I just don't get the mindset of watching games looking for penalties, right? Yeah, that was the way to hit on Pat Mahomes. It's called 100 times out of 100. And then people are going back throughout the game trying to find other instances when, maybe they didn't call late in here. It seems like a waste of energy. Like, just don't hit Pat Mahomes late. And don't worry about anything else. I don't understand the thirst people have for like this whataboutism when it comes to penalties and wanting more penalties. To me, I want less penalties. Call less. If there was no penalties the entire game, obviously, you know, I want them procedural penalties if guys are offside. It's called those. But like, if you have no penalties all game, that to me is the perfect game. Like, call none of them.
Right.
And I don't understand. There's like people just they watch games looking for penalties, and I think too because there's more at least open discussion about wagering now that a lot of people frame the way they look at games that way on social media now. So there's media personalities who cover games now differently because they're openly talking about their wagering side, right? Mm-hmm. So like if you had the Bengals this weekend and you could easily be like, look, the NFL, they screwed. Look at this call. Look at this call. Look at this call. It's skews the way you view the game.
I'm laughing, Jeff, because obviously we do things with our wagers, but we try to be objective about it when we talk about it. Yeah,
I know, but, yeah. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking about like there's people that are kind of like they don't really pay attention to football all the time. They kind of get into the game kind of during the postseason. It's annoying, right? Like it just frustrates me because the officiating, the procedural stuff can't happen, right? Like the third down thing, like that stuff can't happen. But the judgment stuff, man, like it happens. They're gonna get calls right. They're gonna miss calls and do this stuff. But you have all these plays throughout a game. You know, Bengals fans. Joe Burrow had the ball with 2 minutes left, with timeouts, needing a field goal. Like you had all that being said, you had your opportunity to go down the field and score a field goal. You need 50 yards against a Chiefs defense playing four rookies at that time. Four rookies, three in the secondary and one in the defensive line. Four rookies. You all you do is get 50 yards for in a field goal to win that game. They didn't do it. All right, fine. It's the official's fault. Whatever. It's just so boring and lame to frame games that way.
Jeff Schwartz, everybody. Kelly, you want to say something?
No, the other part of it, I've heard a couple people bring up this week, which I think is very true. It's just we have so many more cameras now and angles correct on everything than we've had in years past where it's we see that back end hold happen, right? We wouldn't have seen that 7 years
but
ago.
But even that creates a problem, right? Because it's like then the Devontae Smith catch where we only get to see the angle after the commercial. Like, what happened to all the angles?
Yeah.
Remember that Raiders touchdown? The Raiders touchdown that was from like a blimp, and all of a sudden we could, in that one game, we were like, well, we'll get a Zapruder film on this. We can't get anything better.
Here's a good example. So the holding penalties that people complain about at the end of the game, right? Orlando Brown and Trey Smith. Okay, so we get to watch those plays 1,000 times over, right? And think about it. The referees get to see it one whole time, right? And then you had Gene Sachetor and you have Dean Blandino, right? Two former officials that now talk about the game post-retirement, right? And so you had Gene come out and say yesterday, I would have called holding on the left tackle on Orlando Brown. Then you have Dean Blandino come out and say, yeah, I would not have called a holding on that play. So if you're a Bengals fan, you're like, oh, yeah, look, Gene says to hold it. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, look, Gene says not a holding.
It's very
like,
true.
That to me is a 50-50. Don't call holding then, right? Because if one says it's a holding and one says it's not a holding, then it's not a freaking holding. Don't call the penalty.
All right, Jeff.
So that adds more to the problem.
I want to get through these quick because I want to get your thoughts on the game. But where do you stand on, like, the games where the right tackle – I'll just use the right tackle. The right tackle false starts every single play – and they're like daring the officials to call it, so they never do.
So Lane Johnson is one of those guys in the Eagles. There's some. The way I look at it is like if the speed limit's 40 miles an hour and you're going 45, and the cop doesn't pull you over, you pretty much think that 45 is now legal, right? And so if the NFL continues to not call those, you're going to continue to do it, right? So the NFL doesn't call that an offside, so a false start. So if you're Lane Johnson, and most of them are pretty close to being, if you watch, like, you know, again, if you're Zaprudering the film, like, you watch it, it's pretty much, like, on time. It looks pretty bad because Lane has that big kick. But, like, if they don't call it, then just keep doing it. That's another one, too. Like, they haven't called that a penalty in probably three seasons. So why are we still whining about it on social media? Like, get over it, guys. They're not calling that a penalty. Why are we complaining about it still?
Yeah, it's not just Lane Johnson, though. So there's so many in so many different games. Let me ask you this real quick before we get your thoughts on the game. Let's keep this to a short answer because I really want to get your thoughts. But Sean Payton, is any coach worth a first and second? Is he?
I think coaches can be worth a first and second if you have someone to work with, a quarterback that can help you win a championship. I just don't know if that's Russell Wilson, right? So, mm-hmm. if you're telling me that I can get, like, if you're the Chargers right now, right? Like, would you trade a first and second for Andy Reid? Heck yeah, you would, right? Like,
yeah.
Would you trade, you would. But if you're, someone else, you're throwing like money at a bad problem with maybe bad money. That's the problem. You already have issues, and you're basically making it worse by giving him now no draft picks to fix the problem.
All right,
and so that becomes the concern.
Give me 90 seconds on this game. Chiefs and Eagles. Eagles favored by 1.5. What you got?
So I am a Chiefs fan, but I just think it's a bad matchup for the Eagles. Are a bad matchup for everybody. They're just so good in the offensive defensive line. It's just really hard to disrupt Jalen Hurts and the offensive rhythm. You really have to hope, you shut down the run game, and then we saw the Niners just kind of keep Hurts in the pocket, and you kind of get him off rhythm a little bit, and you hope that he throws the ball up in the air a little bit, which is what the Eagles, early in the game, the Eagles offense didn't move the ball terribly well. I think the Chiefs offense can move it fine if they can block, a couple guys up front. So, I believe the Eagles ever so slightly. I think the offensive defensive lines are just so good. I don't know if the Chiefs have enough on those units, and the Chiefs are really good at both those units to do enough. But they have the best quarterback, and that kind of always gives you the opportunity to win every game. So also, Chiefs injuries in the wide receiving core. Got to be who knows who's playing. They have three guys go out, and if you're down to playing Marcus Kemp, who valiantly filled in. You're probably not in a good spot in offense. So that plays a role into how I look at this game at the moment. So I would lean Eagles ever so slightly at the moment. I might change my mind before game day.
leaves it open right of changing his mind. Still leaves it open to that. But a Chiefs fan who likes the Eagles. Thank you, Jeff. Great talking to you again, man.
Same here. Take care, bud.
Jeff Schwartz, at Jeff Schwartz on the Twitter machine. He and Wishna, they are basically the same person, as he said right there. I love that he remembers Todd so well. That's the best part of this.
Jeff Schwartz come on, and Todd somehow yelling at Jeff Schwartz.
It's phenomenal. All right, we'll come back. Kelly on Pebble Beach. We'll read your tweets as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets. We also get texts, by the way. This is from John Goulet. Kelly, are you familiar with a John Goulet?
Yeah, I got a text from him earlier, too.
Our program director, he goes, your show prep yesterday was going through Rihanna's catalog and finding the bangers she might open with. Outstanding. Very committed, ladies and gentlemen, to this here place of employment. Here are the tweets. We get tweets at Beat the Book. Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. When Gil asked Kelly if there will be a time to do Rihanna, there's only one acceptable answer. That's why he's so much more than a producer. Hashtag wingman. This is also from, he says also, next time I want you to go full Barry Sheck when you ask the question. How about that, Mr.? It's like, I can't read that. Okay, this is from, Wilkman, talking about your, with the Oculus pat down.
The Ocular pat down. Yeah, the Ocular pat down for Mac. That's what I gave. What was his name again? I'm blanketing it. Joe. Joe, right? That's what I gave Joe. I was like, yep, Joe's good.
Dion Kabak, tell Kelly select Staples stores have TSA offices in them. Takes 10 minutes to get your TSA pre.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Breaking news. Staples still exists?
Select Staples stores.
Select Staples stores? Like, they're everywhere, and I got to pick one? I haven't seen a Staples in, like, a decade.
Oh, they're around. It's not like he said select Barnes & Noble stores. Where you're like, oh, my God, I think I found Bigfoot.
Have we not hit the point where, like, Staples, Office Max, and Office Depot have all just rolled into one?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with office supply store economics.
I'm a little scared to go there. It's like going to the mall these days. I just imagine, like, open, like, deserted stores. People be like, hey, come shop. Come shop. We got printer paper.
Steve in Vegas, by the way, for those who are just landing on the show, these are all references to things we were talking about earlier. Steve in Vegas, you may know this, but I learned from some of my iGaming clients that in Israel, every adult must enlist in the military from 18 to 20 years old. Yes. Hence the difference in airport security. Everybody's been in the army. Imagine how fun that is dealing with that. Well, it's because also the country is always in threat as opposed to us as well. But yes, by the way, I almost was enlisted in the Israeli army. This is a true story. I made the mistake of entering Israel right after my mom did in customs.
Mm.
And so the custom agent made the connection and in Hebrew was like, is that your mom? And me, I was like at the age where I wasn't, you know, I was thinking, I was like, oh, yeah, of course it's my mom. And like, oh, you're at the age. You're in. You're in the army. It's compulsory if your mom has an Israeli passport.
I was going to say, because you would have had a U.S. passport,
I had
right?
a U.S. passport. I actually had a music video show in D.C. at the time already, right, which I referred to the other day. So we had to go, and my uncle screaming at the top of his lungs, basically telling him, this kid is American. He has nothing to do with, like, you can't. And I remember being like, yeah, I'd be good with it. The only problem was it would be inconvenient because I had the show. So I would be like, I got a show I got to get back
can't
to, so
that.
I can't.
Yeah.
But, like, that is a real thing.
Yeah, it's always fascinating, too, when it comes to we talk about golf all the time. All these South Korean golfers, same thing. They're on they have required military service that they have to hit before a certain age. And man, it's tough for these guys to kind of navigate their way around it.
One more before it's a good transition to golf. This is from JD. What is the first Rihanna song going to be for Super Bowl? Oh, you betting it? He was just talking about the segment we just did on it. We'll put it on social a little later on.
Blue.
And one more, Jesse Welch. The disdain in Kelly's voice has me wondering what he has against Scottish DJs.
I got nothing against Scottish DJs.
I think you're a Scottish DJ.
I just had to Google who it was, who you were referencing.
Calvin Harris?
Yeah.
Bruh, you don't know much, do you?
No. No, sorry, I didn't have music video shows. Okay,
You know what he knows? Golf, everybody. Yeah. Pebble Beach, what you got?
I've been working in sports and watching sports for the past 15 years and not much else.
Sports and music, that's where it ends for me.
Pebble Beach, this got depressing. It's got depressing looking into this. I'm going to start with just a macro golf thing for real quick. This is the elevated tournaments that the PGA Tour is doing this year to kind of combat LIV. Look, it's one of those, it looks great on the surface. I think there's always there's a lot of great tournaments that are going to have even better fields this year, that they're going to have consistent great fields for several years to come that I'm really excited to watch. There are always some victims, though, when you do something like that, and some tournaments like Pebble Beach are one of them. You just don't have quite the field that you've had in years past. And it's a beautiful, beautiful course. It's one of those, obviously, we watch on TV. And, the ocean shots and where they're at, it's just amazing. The field's just not as strong as what it is has been in the past. Top of the field, if we just look at the odds board here first, it's Matt Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Victor Hovland. You got 11-1 on Fitzpatrick and Spieth over at DraftKings right now. Victor Hovland, 12-1. And, then it's a pretty significant drop-off from names there, Gil. I mean, these are a lot of guys that, you've heard Matt and I talk about over the years where we're talking about these guys in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s to 1 that you're now seeing, Matt McNeely, 18-1. He did basically grow up on that golf course, so there's some reasoning there. Tom Hoagie, 22-1. Seamus Power, 22-1. Andrew Putnam, 30-1. As far as guys that I ended up betting this, I just went with the way this odds board is set up, those three guys at the top, This is a – I'm looking at bombs on this one, Gil. We've also seen in the past history of this tournament, it's been a lot of long shots have won this, or a lot of really short shots have won this. I'm not willing to invest in Fitzpatrick, Spieth, or Hovland at those numbers. I think if you were going to go with one of those three, if you find an off number on Spieth, he's my favorite of the three this week. I think Hovland has a victory on this course before – not on tour, but does have a victory here before. But his around the green play concerns me a little bit this week in a tournament that it is so important. As far as the course or tournament itself, you have a three course rotation, so we're back to that again. Only get shot link data on Pebble Beach, so that's where most of our information is coming from. As far as when I'm building up my models and everything like that, that is what we're looking at the most. Winds might come into play. Right now, it's looking like bad Thursday afternoon, Friday morning, and Saturday afternoon. You're going to have that same cut after 54 holes that we saw after these guys play all three courses. It's a pro-am, which means you're going to get five-hour rounds, six-hour rounds with, you know, Bill Murray and all those guys you're going to see on Friday and Saturday playing with these guys. So the cut comes after Saturday. Then they really get going on Sunday to close this thing out. As far as guys that I did end up looking at this week, the guys that really popped for me further down the board, Brendan Todd, Andrew Putnam, Russell Knox, David Lipsky, a bunch of kind of nobodies at longer odds. Brendan Todd, though, top 10 in my stat models that I put together. Really focusing on approach play here around the green play. And some more putting stats this week. These are the smallest greens on tour. You got some more wide open fairways. Not to say that the distance is not going to be a factor here at all. This is a shorter track. Distance not going to be a factor, but setting yourself up for a good approach shot is going to be big off the tee because these greens are so small. So around the green play and approach play, very important this week. Brendan Todd, top 10 in my model, 18th in the field, strokes gained putting on POA greens, which we have full POA greens this week for the first time this year. He was T16 at this tournament last year. And tournament history, I think, is very important when you're looking at Pebble Beach these days. Andrew Putnam, he was 8th in my last 36-round model, 15th in my POA model that I put together. Solid recent form. This is a guy that I bet on a couple weeks ago at a longer shot number. Hitting a matchup a couple weeks ago as well. He's 36th of the Amex, 4th at Sony. Good performances in the fall swing. So I really like his form coming in here. He's one of the guys I'm higher on. Just didn't bet an outright on him at the number that he's at. Way too short to bet an outright on this guy. Russell Knox, good tournament history here. T33 last year. Stats a little bit more wonky for him. But as far as bets that I made, those were three guys I really did key in on. The outrights that I made, David Lipsky, 65-1, Brendan Todd, 80-1, and Russell Knox, 80-1. I might be looking to add one or two in tournament, Gil, but this is more of a long shot one. We'll see if we can get one of these guys in the mix. I'm saving my money for Waste Management next week. That's going to be a great, great tournament down at Phoenix next week before the Super Bowl. Other bets I did make, top 20 on Andrew Putnam and Brendan Todd. Longer number there on Brendan Todd. And then tournament matchup, Andrew Putnam over Denny McCarthy. Do like that one. That was the only matchups I made. Not a heavily bet tournament for me. Definitely a chance I could get in live. But this is another one of those tournaments with multiple courses and some courses that we don't have the shot link data for. It's tougher for me to model correctly. So it's always one of those, you don't need to bet every tournament heavily. Save that money for next week when I know I'm going to have a lot of bets.
Good for you. A little discipline there. Hopefully they don't interview the mother of someone who's in the lead after the 15th or 16th hole.
Yeah, it did finally happen last week, though, right? A top 20 bet on Homa, but not an outright, yeah. And he got home. Yeah. It's the first time it's happened to me, actually.
You ever play Pebble Beach, by the way?
No, I haven't played it, but I've been there.
Yeah. They only got me on the 17th and 18th hole of whatever it was with the par threes either the 17 or 18.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely gorgeous. It's gorgeous. Absolutely beautiful. We'll come back. Tom Brady implications about the quarterback carousel on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. Planning a trip to Vegas? Well, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Elvis Toast Patterson. Said, Gilly, as you're giving your opinions on these big game novelty props, my local trader, in quotes, and an offshore, is moving the lines. Someone in faraway places is listening. Oh, yeah, no, we know that. We are very well aware.
Yep.
They'll pull them off for tennis, too. Did I do that? That's kind of our running thing with that. Oh, by the way, we get texts as well. This is from Richard Palma, who listens to the show. Kelly's voice is so serious and passionate when talking golf. Rest of the time, it's I'm ready to party voice.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Yeah. That's pretty fair. Yeah. NBA and golf, yeah, I'll get like that. Yeah.
Dog Day wins. Oh, I was talking about Jeff Schwartz's appearance. He says, Jeff, may I suggest a little less Twitter while watching football? Stick to Jeff Schwartz right there.
I can't get over the Lane Johnson thing.
It's so funny because I left that open. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Offensive lineman, they false start on every play. He's like, yeah, that Lane Johnson. I was like, I wasn't talking about Lane Johnson. That's great.
It only takes, if you don't remember, it only takes a quick Google search. Jeff Schwartz, his last couple years with the Giants. Lane Johnson still on the Eagles back then. Yeah.
Dion Caba is trying to help you out, Kelly, with the TSA. He goes,
I guess these are staples.
He goes, there's one in North Las Vegas and one in Henderson, LOL. And then somebody else actually goes ahead. This is Michael Burns. He said, I'll do Kelly's legwork, Las Vegas locations. Easy peasy. There's like six places you could go do this, man.
This is shocking to me. And Michael Burns, thank you for this, because I do see one that is close to me. But I'm going to go to.
Kelly.
I'm going to go to before my next flight.
What have we learned today, ladies and gentlemen? That Kelly Bidlin knows nothing about anything besides golf and college football lines.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't know Rihanna's whole catalog.
And the NBA, he knows as well.
I don't know Rihanna's whole catalog. I sit through security lines at airports like the rest of everybody else in America, apparently. Just an everyday man here, Gil. Just trying to fight for the everyday working class people of the world. Okay?
Oh, look, the bear, Chris Felica, has a tweet.
What's he got?
He said, hey, Gil, it sounded like you literally named every show at VSiN except ANG was headed to Radio Row in the Super Bowl. What's up with that? Followed, by the way, by Truck, who says, just started listening on delay. Why aren't you going to Radio Row? Well, I think Chris Felica and Truck clearly, the answer is raging anti-Semitism. I mean, that's clearly, obviously, the answer. I mean, do the math. Josh Applebaum, Chrissy Andrews, me. None of us going. I'm kidding. It's not that.
No, obviously, what's going on is we're finally getting my food truck set up, yeah. And I'm making Gil make a celebrity appearance at it. So we can kind of get some sales.
The real reason, ladies and gentlemen, is we had a segment a few weeks ago. We had Emerson Latzia on the show from DraftKings, and I like to refer to that segment as The Incident. And I like to think that that's why we're not going, Kelly, that management secretly behind the scenes was like, okay, who was responsible for that segment? And I was like in there with my hand up, and I was like going at you like this.
Like what, that we promoted one of the bigger personalities at DraftKings, so that's why we're not going down to the
It was off-brand is what we're saying. It was off-brand, and I think we're getting punished for that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a joke. You take it all seriously. I don't know. That's just people wondering. Anyway, we read all the tweets. We appreciate it. We want to talk about this Tom Brady thing. Kelly made that awkward for me. Tom Brady on this thing where he is now one. So we have one less quarterback on the carousel, if you will. And so the door now opens to Aaron Rodgers to basically be traded to one more possible location, I suppose. But Tom Brady, and again, Kelly mentioned this in the first segment of, you know, will you get refunds on all of your Tom Brady bets? Yes, you probably will. The question is, when will you get refunded on those? That will vary from book to book. But I guess now we look at the NFC landscape, and not that Brady was, Herbert, Mahomes, or, you know, Burrow level this year, but you now have an NFC where if Aaron Rodgers departs, you got Hurts, Dak, and Cousins, and then I guess Stafford is still the guy if he comes back. If
I mean, it is one of those. If you're Aaron Rodgers and looking at teams, you don't want to go to the AFC. That's for sure.
Or what about players like Lamar Jackson? Would you take the exit and be like, I should probably play in the NFC?
I would be thinking about it a lot more now than I was a couple years ago. Right?
Acting as your own agent, of course.
I guess a little bit of breaking news. Sorry, I was distracted here for a moment. The Pistons game being postponed tonight. I was trying to figure out why. Apparently, it is just weather. Due to weather-related flight issues, the Pistons are still in Dallas after playing the Mavericks Monday night. Wow. Okay. So no Pistons-Wizards game tonight in Detroit.
They didn't decide to go an alternative mode of transport if they've had days to do it?
I guess not. Still a long way. Isaiah telling me there's been crazy winter storms, I guess, in the Dallas area, but I guess they just couldn't get out. Wow.
Which brings me back to the basketball point. Not only did LeBron have a triple-double last night, so did Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
Yet again. 26, 18, and 15. These are not just barely making triple-doubles.
Yeah,
these are like comfortable triple-doubles. Nuggets beat the Pelicans 122 to 113. That was one of those halftime bets. They were down three, and the halftime line was minus six. And I was like, okay. You know how you get that stupid gambler psychology. I was like, if I make this bet, they're so not covering this. But if I don't, they'll clearly cover it, right?
Yeah.
It's like I didn't make it.
You didn't make it.
By the way, it was touch and go for a while there on they'd have to win by three, in other words, would be a push. And they were up five pretty deep into the fourth quarter. And then I guess they just sort of got some distance there towards the end.
That was like mid-second quarter I got in on the Nuggets live, like at a minus 120 money line is what I laid. But, yeah, that was – I mean, you're right. Jokic was close to a triple-double in the first half. He's incredible. I do have two NBA plays tonight, actually, as well. I'm putting some chalk on the road. Thunder laying five. Love that bet tonight against – the Rockets, who will be out without Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., their top two scorers. I'm a little confused. And this line's actually come down. It was six last night on the opener. You can get five and a half right now on the Oklahoma City Thunder. They will be without Lou Dort still, which is a problem for them. But do like them heading into Houston tonight. And then Kings, I'm laying it heading into San Antonio. This Spurs team has just been god-awful, continues to be bad. Kings, one of the best offenses in the league. Expect to see a lot of points there tonight in San Antonio. Total set at 244.5 for that game.
The Jokic point deserves to be made one more time. This would be a three-peat for him on the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the only people who have ever won three MVP awards in a row in the NBA, it ain't Michael Jordan. It's Larry Bird, Bill Russell, and Wilt Chamberlain. That's the list. And this one is the one that almost is starting to feel like it's the slam dunk one. We're way early. It's still February. The NBA season is really weird because the All-Star break is so deep into the season.
Yeah.
So it's very odd because you used to think of it as the midway point. It's not even close to the midway point anymore. So
why don't they do it all around like the Super Bowl too?
I don't know.
You know
what
I mean?
Weird. It's so weird.
Like, is the NHL All-Star weekend this weekend? I think it's this weekend. And
with the Pro Bowl, same weekend?
Yeah, but it's like, why would you, or maybe it's the next weekend? Hold on.
Because the NBA basically has a month and a half before the end of the season after the All-Star break, essentially, before we get to the postseason.
Right. This weekend.
Yeah.
You're up against, like, this is the one weekend you could actually have games that people would watch.
I guess what I'm getting at with this is we are well into the season now. The All-Star break is right around the corner later this month. And if he keeps doing this, if Jokic keeps doing this every night, this is not even a debate anymore, is it?
No. I'd hate to say it.
And so he'll be the fourth player in the history of the NBA with Russell, Chamberlain, and Bird, iconic names, to have a three-peat? And does it almost make you sort of look back and be like, wow, should he have won the first two? Like, should he have won last year? That kind of thing?
I mean, they've all been tight, right?
And this one
looks like it's going to be too. I mean, like Embiid's putting up ridiculous numbers again.
Bro, if he's putting up 26, 18, and 15 and stuff like this in big games,
I mean, he's third in the league right now in assists. If he finishes anywhere near that, like hand him the award.
Yes.
It's a big man, like a top three in assists in the NBA.
I just wonder if you get him while you can, kind of thing, on a bet. Well, we've done all we can do. Michael Lombardi is next Lombardi Line. I'm sure he will have his thoughts and his perspective on the retirement of the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady. That and more. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.